ideas.
They are horrible ideas. Bert would never do anything like that.
She does have good taste, and that was not good. So what's the offense here? You know, Lindsay's input was not kind, was not loving. If you assume those were real ideas, her input to Brooke was, come on, these are horrible, these are terrible. If somebody's sincerely trying to do something and we come back with, that's terrible, that's horrible, what were you thinking? Okay, that's unkind.
Yeah, right.
That's unloving. Okay, that's an offense that has a cost.
Yeah.
So in that relationship between Brooke and Lindsay, now there's a cost that just got created.
Yep.
Who's going to pay for that offense? Well, either Brooke's going to deal with it and absorb it and forgive her, or Brooke's going to keep the debt cycle going and she's going to turn around and gossip to somebody about how mean Lindsay was.
Yeah.
Somebody's got to pay for the offense. Every offense has a cost, and that cost, that debt, has to be paid.
Yeah.
You know, that's the first point this morning. Every offense, every sin that you and I ever commit causes a debt. If you were in a car accident, somebody's got to pay to fix your car.
Yeah.
Now, you could drive a car that's not fixed, and some people do. But let's assume you want your car fixed. Somebody's got to pay.
Yeah.
And there's a lot, if you've ever been in a car accident, that's one of the premier things. Let me get your insurance. Here's my insurance. We got to figure out who's going to pay for this.
Yep.
Something happened. A debt was created. Who's going to pay? Go to the next one. In relationships, there's debts. There's offenses. There's sins in relationships all the time.
Yep.
In this case, you know, fighting over the remote. What is that? That's selfishness, right? You know, if you've ever been in a room and you want the remote because you want to watch what you want to watch, or you want to watch the way you want to watch. You know what I'm talking about? You know, it's kind of a running thing. You know, in our household, I like to mute commercials because I can't stand them. Jay likes commercials because his theory is they got 30 seconds to get my attention, and I'm always curious what they come up with to get my attention in 30 seconds. So he wants to watch them and hear them and see how clever they got. And I'm muting him. And so he's probably like, oh, are you kidding me? I want the remote. I want to keep it on. I want to hear this thing. And, you know, so there's debts caused in relationships over selfishness, over pride, over defensiveness. We get critical. We get judgmental. We lie. We get deceitful. We gossip. We slander. We cause an offense. We create a debt. Who's going to pay for that debt? You know, arguments, say hurtful things, critical things, unkind things, unloving things, mean things get said between people. And a debt is created. And the question is, who's going to pay for that debt? How's that debt going to be reconciled? It's important to figure this out. How many debts are created every day? Go to the next slide. Here's a verse, 1 Corinthians 13, 4 through 8. The opposite of all of these, pretty much, are debts that we create, sins we do. We're impatient. When we're patient with somebody, we created a debt. When we're unkind, when we envy, when we're boastful, when we're proud, when we're rude, when we're selfish, when we're easily angered, when we keep a record of wrongs, when we delight in evil and we just want to get back at them and we want to show them and we want to go eye for an eye with somebody.
Mm.
When we don't rejoice in the truth, when we don't protect, when we don't trust, when we're hopeless, when we give up on somebody. We're creating debt. How many times a day, how many days a year are these kind of debts created? How many days do you create a debt off of that list? Do I create a debt off of that list?
Yep.
I would dare say every day I'm on that list somewhere. Not in a good way, but also in a not good way. There's a lot of debt that's created every day. We create debt with other people. They create debt in our world.
Yep.
There's an offense. There's a sin. There's a cost. Who's going to pay for that debt. I looked up bill collector. Go ahead. You know, it's funny. There's a bill collector for you. If you look up images on bill collectors, they almost always have a bat or a gun. You know, he didn't have a bat or a gun, but, the bill collector, you don't want to see the bill collector. You don't want to pay the debt to this guy, because if you don't have it, he's going to make you hurt. Either in this life, either you pay or your friend pays. In this world, when we create a debt off that, if we're unkind, if we're impatient, they're impatient with us, somebody pays, us or the other person.
Yep.
Spiritually, every sin is an offense against God.
Yep.
Everyone. Yep. Our sins are sometimes an offense against other people, but every sin is an offense against God. Mm-hmm. Every sin we commit creates a debt between us and God. Somebody's got to pay that debt. It's either going to be Jesus or you and me. The only person that can pay your debt for sin, my debt for sin, is you and me. And then about 2,000 years ago, this guy came along. And he was willing to pay our debt. Mm-hmm. Jesus. He's the only one that stepped forward since the beginning of time to pay your debt besides you. And he's the only one that can pay your debt besides you. Jesus. He's the only other one that could do it. Go to Mark chapter 8.
Come on, Nick.
We're going to read the next story here in the Gospel of Mark that we've been looking at. Mark chapter 8, verse 27. We're going to see some of this played out in the language and in the interaction going on here between Jesus and his disciples. Mark 8, verse 27. Jesus and his disciples went to the villages around Caesarea Philippi. On the way, he asked them, "Who do the people say I am?" They replied, "Well, some say John the Baptist. Others say Elijah. Still others say one of the prophets." She said, "Okay, what about you? Who do you say I am?" Peter answered, "Well, you're the Christ." You know, Peter, it's probably a pretty good moment for Peter and for Jesus. If you know much about Peter and Jesus, you know, Peter's a real volatile kind of, you know, spontaneous guy. And sometimes the first thing he thinks, he just says. And sometimes it's not really on target. But in this case, he's ready for an answer, and Jesus says, "Who am I?" And he's like, "Well, you're the Messiah. You're the anointed one. You're the King of Kings. You're the King that was to come to make everything right." And Jesus is like, "Yep." He's probably feeling like, "Finally, Peter got it. This is awesome." And Peter's probably feeling like, "I got it right." And he's probably feeling pretty good about it too. So we got a nice little moment there. Let's feel that moment for a minute, because it evaporates very quickly. Mark 8:31. Jesus then began to teach them that the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected by the elders and chief priests, teachers of the law. He must be killed, and after 3 days rise again. He spoke plainly about this, and Peter took him aside, and he began to rebuke Jesus. But then Jesus turned around and looked at his disciples, and he rebuked Peter. "Get behind me, Satan. You don't have in mind the things of God, but the things of men." Boy, Peter, he was in that sweet spot for just a minute. And then it's like he totally forgot that this was, remember you just said he's the Messiah? You just said he's the King of Kings, and now you're rebuking him? What in the world? Why such a strong reaction? Why would Peter lose his mind like that? Partly, it's because of what Jesus just said. Jesus said, "I must suffer. I must be rejected. I must be killed. I must pay the price for sin. Jesus knew what was going on here. He had the big picture in mind. Peter had the little picture in mind.
Yeah.
See, with Peter, it was, no, this is a bad idea, Jesus. You shouldn't do that. You shouldn't suffer. You shouldn't be killed. You shouldn't go to the cross. You're the king. You should set everything right. You should stick around. You should fight. You can win. I mean, you're Jesus. You're going to win. Fight him. Beat him. Show him. Bad plan. Right? See, that's why Peter was so caught up, why he was so drawn to rebuking Jesus, because his lens was that this moment I'm in, the here and now, and in this moment, I want you to set everything right and to stick around and to show those guys who you are. And if you get killed, if you let yourself be rejected and you suffer and then you let them kill, you're going to let them do it. You're going to volunteer. What? Why would you do that? Mm-hmm. See, it just doesn't make sense in our understanding.
Right.
Didn't make sense in Peter's understanding. You know, there's a cool line in a movie that came out, a Wonder Woman movie, if any of you saw it. Chris Pine, one of the main characters, he said, You gotta save eternity. I'm just gonna save the day. See, Peter wanted to save the day, but Jesus was there to save eternity. They were looking at it completely from a different lens. And that's why Jesus said, no, I gotta suffer. I got to go to the cross. I got to be rejected. I'm going to voluntarily lay myself down on this cross. I'm going to die. Not because I can't fight and win. I'm going to die because I want to pay the price of sin for you. It's got to happen like this. It's the only way that you won't have to pay the price for your debt. It's the only way that I can pay your debt for you. It has to be like this. I have to go to the cross. I will go to the cross. I will pay the price. Either I pay or you pay. Can you kind of see Jesus saying that?
Yeah.
Can you see that in his heart? Either I'm going to pay or you're going to pay. And I don't want you to have to pay. Go to the next slide.
Come on, Nick. Come on.
You know, in Hebrews 9, we read that without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness.
Right.
Our sin, the debt we have created between us and God because of our sin, it takes the blood of Jesus. Either Jesus pays with his blood and we don't pay, or we pay. If he doesn't go to the cross, then we're all guilty and we pay for our sin. And that is one dark situation. But we have the good news. And the good news is we don't have to pay. Jesus went to the cross so that we don't have to pay. Praise God that he was willing to pay our debt on the cross. And the cost of our sin is blood. It's the life of Jesus. He couldn't have died of old age. He had to be killed so that the cost of our sin could be paid. So why would he do it? Why would he do that? Who in their right mind would pay for someone else's sin at that level of cost? Here's why. Because God loves you. God doesn't just love you. God so loves you. God loves you so much and in such a big way that you can't and I can't even grasp how big God's love is for you and me. We can't even fathom it, even though we try. You know, in Ephesians chapter 3, Paul says, I pray that God will open your eyes so that you can grasp how high and long and wide and deep is the love of Christ. I'm going to pray that you can just even grasp the concept. Why would Jesus suffer, be rejected, be killed? Why would he let that happen? Why would he pay for my debt? That's a cost I can't comprehend. I mean, can you imagine? Would you pay for somebody's debt if it cost you your life? But Jesus did. Jesus said, I'm going to pay your debt. I'm going to pay your debt at the cost of my blood because I love you so dearly and I just can't even imagine not having given you an opportunity to have your debt cleared. I don't want you to have to pay. Because the payment, I know what it looks like for you to pay for your sins. And I don't want you to have to pay that. I love you too much to not give you an opportunity to have that debt cleared. And the only way for it to be cleared, except for you, is for me. And so I'll do it. You know, if you're a parent, you ever had your kid be sick, and you wish you could take their sickness on you, like, you know, try to come up with this, you know, I've prayed that prayer. It's like, God, send that sickness to me. I want my kid to be free of this. I want it. Send it to me. Now, I can't make that happen, but I understand at the most minuscule level that kind of love. That's what kind of love God has for us. Amen. You know, the story of the cross, it's not a downer story.
Come on, Nick.
It's a sobering story.
Yeah.
But it's an amazing story. It's a story of love. It's a story to try to send the message in the greatest possible way that I love you in ways you could never understand.
Yep.
I'm going to pay your debt. I'm going to clear the account. Because I don't want you to have to. And so I voluntarily lay my life down because you mean that much to me. It's pretty unbelievable. You are treasured. You are loved. You are special to God. You are wonderfully made. You are worth Jesus going to the cross. And like the analogy with the dress, get that grace out. Wear that grace. Twirl around and dance with that grace. I mean, have a great time. That costs something. It costs Jesus something. And he wants you to have it. He wants you to use it and bask in it.
Yeah.
Don't hang it in the closet. Be fired up about the grace of God. Because he paid your debt. The last point this morning. Once you're debt free, participate.
Yeah.
Participate in what? Participate in canceling debts in the world. Participate in sending and forgiving. You know, get a cycle of forgiveness going in this world.
Yeah.
You know, in Mark 8, reading on from where we just were, verse 34. After Jesus said all this, straightened Peter out, said he's going to go to the cross, called the crowds to him, said if anyone would come after me, if anyone wants to be a Christian, if anyone wants to follow in my steps, then he must deny himself.
Yeah.
Take up his cross and follow me. Jesus called these guys who are listening. He said, look, I'm paying your debt and I'm calling you to be like me, to do what I've done. I must go suffer and I must die for your sins. Now I want you to understand, you got to lay down the selfishness. You got to lay down your agenda because it creates debt. Lay it down and walk like me. Follow me. Be like me. Be an element of light in a dark world. Participate. You know, there's a famous prayer that many of us have memorized. Here's a piece of it. Father, forgive our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. Participate. Jesus did the first part, right? He opened the door to forgive our debt. And he's saying, now you need to do it too. You need to turn around and offer forgiveness. You need to turn around and pay off some debts from people that have hurt you.
Yep.
See, Jesus is creating a cycle of debt-free. You know, so let's not keep the debt climbing like the national debt in the U.S. Spiritually, let's start paying it down.
Yeah.
Because of love. The love God has for us, the love we have for other people. In a minute, we're going to watch a video. It's a song about forgiveness. I want us just to think about it. I want to, you know, just take that, as we listen to the song, let the concept of Jesus paid our debt, let it sink into a deeper level. I think we've known this concept, but sometimes it gets, dare I say, commonplace. And we don't let it sink in as deep as we should, and it doesn't mean as much as it should. Let's let it sink in. Let's let it really get into our hearts. Let's be grateful, grateful for the debt-free life God has offered. And then we got to examine, are we participating? Anybody we need to forgive today? Let's be aware. Let's forgive. Let's be like Jesus. Let's pay the debt. And then after that, we're going to have two brothers come up, and one of them is going to pray in English, and one of them is going to pray in Spanish before we take the trays for the Lord's Supper.
Yeah.